Welcome, everyone, to episode 113 of the Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Oh, no, sorry. The NBA podcast. I'm Brian Zaporek. We are about 48 hours from the trade deadline, so we're going to give you all the latest news and scoops and rumors and break down what we think might happen between now and Thursday. Before we get underway, I wanted to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA pod. In our bio, you can find our Twitter handle, so please give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. And we're being hosted this year on FanRag Sports, so check them out on Twitter at FanRag Sports and for their NBA content at FRS Hoops with a Z. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well, Brian, but I'm kind of confused. It seems like there's been some sort of American football game on.
This minor event happened on
this Sunday. Minor thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You may have seen pictures of a very sad-looking Trump supporter named Tom Brady after he fumbled with 2 minutes left in the game and effectively lost.
Well, I was way too busy looking at commercials, like movie trailers. So yeah. I'm not sure what's going on.
To be completely honest, I mean, everyone knows, longtime listeners know, I am very pro Philly, so obviously I'm a big Eagles fan.
No.
And I was so goddamn stressed the entire day Sunday that I didn't sit down once during the game. I think I sat down during halftime just to catch a breather, but I did not sit down at all while the game was on. B, I couldn't enjoy the commercials at all. So, like, I think the only one I remember seeing is the Solo commercial because I rewound that one because I got excited, but, like, I need to now go back and catch up and see the rest because I don't know what happened. I basically blacked out in a state of pure terror for 3 hours. But that said, I have already gone back and watched the Super Bowl twice since then.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a pretty lit 36 hours over here, Mort.
Yeah. Well, congrats.
Thank you. And we
will. Congrats.
We'll talk about the emotional swing that I'm going to be on in the next 48 hours during this
podcast. I just wish I was into football because then I could appreciate this whole thing. I've seen Philly fans just climbing everything that is climbable.
Eating horse turds and jumping off of awnings. We did. The celebration was exactly as I expected it would be.
Wait, roll that back. 8. Horse turds?
Oh, yeah. Oh, go after we get done recording, go Google Eagles fan horse turd, because there was definitely a fan who just in the street, you know, horses were, I'm guessing police horses were out, and one went to the bathroom in the middle of the street, and then a bunch of Eagles fans told another guy to eat one, and God bless him, he sure did. So,
I don't think I'll Google that, to be honest with you.
All right, Mort. Let's get into the NBA. We will talk.
Yeah,
more
let's
Eagles
get into
later.
A more sane sport. We have saner fans.
Is it?
I hope.
Is it?
I hope.
We'll see in the next 48 hours, I guess. So we haven't had much activity since our last episode. We talked about Blake Griffin. We talked about Nikola Mirotic. We did have one minor trade Monday, or a blockbuster, I guess, if you're a Milwaukee fan. They have unified a Plumlee and a Zeller. The Milwaukee Bucks acquired Tyler Zeller from the Brooklyn Nets for Rashad Vaughn and a second-round pick. Rashad Vaughn, reminder, they declined his fourth-year option, so he's in the same kind of boat as Jahlil Okafor. The Nets are limited in how much they can offer him as a free agent this summer. Sounds like it was just for the second-round pick, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. The pick conveys if it's between 31 and 47. Otherwise, it goes to Phoenix from the Eric Bledsoe deal, and the Nets would get a 2020 unprotected second-round pick instead. Mm-hmm. So, Mort, any thoughts on this major ground-breaking blockbuster of a trade?
It is major, but it's major for the Nets because they got Rashad Vaughn.
I like that you're focused on the one part of the trade the Nets probably don't care about.
I was pretty high on Vaughn coming into the league back in 2015. And it's unfortunate. I mean, look, we have this tendency to call players who are drafted very high for busts if they don't turn into like complete stars, like Kwame and Michael Olowokandji and stuff like that. But Rashad Vaughn drafted 17th. Like, that's not low.
Yeah.
And he's played, let me just look. 1,632 minutes in the NBA over three seasons, which suggests he just wasn't ready. So maybe he's going to be one of those guys who's going to go to Europe or somewhere, spend a couple of years, and then come back to the league and be a rotation guy.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he plays well with the Nets. I don't think it would surprise me if they... if any team was like really hot after him in free agency this summer. So maybe the fact that they're limited in what they can offer him won't come back to bite them. Like maybe they can just get him for whatever. I think it's a little less than $3 million, I believe. Maybe they can just re-sign him for that much. Give him a one-year $3 million deal. See if he can repair his value and then try to get a big contract in 2019 when some of the horrendous contracts end in 2016 start coming off the books. It's possible.
It would be fun. Yeah, it would be fun to see him turn into something. I think he's a better shooter than what he's shown. 31% for his career. I think he's better than that. So it's going to be interesting to see it. And this is such a Nets move. They get a pick.
Yeah,
and they get a young guy who, if he turns into something, they'll have a shot at re-signing him. Obviously, I mean, right? They'll be limited to a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, he's not gonna be that awesome either. So they'll probably be able to re-sign him for like the minimum again, if they want to get an extended look at him. So I don't know. I'm just digging Sean Marks in general.
Yeah, I mean they re-signed Zeller to a minimum deal this past fall. So it's not like they held him in super high regard. Like getting a second round pick for a guy who you spent a little bit of cap space on for 1 year, it's a good play. They have to replenish their supply of picks, thanks to Billy King. They did so. They take a flyer on Rashad Vaughn. That's great. For Milwaukee, I like it too. I mean, clearly Rashad Vaughn was not in your future if you declined his fourth-year option. They've been hunting, reportedly, for an upgrade in the middle. We've heard them linked with DeAndre Jordan and Hassan Whiteside, like big names like that. I'm assuming this probably takes them out of that market. I'm guessing they... You know, they've been in conversation with the Clippers and with the Heat over the past few weeks and realized their asking price was too high. So they probably said, screw it. Let's just get, a minor upgrade and see if we're not giving up that anything in terms of on-court value this year. Let's see if this helps. So I like it from both sides. I joke about it being a blockbuster because, Tyler Zeller and Rashad Vaughn are not Blake Griffin by any means, but it's a move that helps both teams. It's a minor move that helps both teams. And these are the type of deals we often see at the trade deadline.
The minor ones. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not every deal is not a blockbuster. We often see a bunch of these tiny deals, especially in the final couple days or the final few hours before the deadline. So don't be surprised if we have more things like this coming down the pipe. But
Brian, we have a little bit of breaking news. Or Uh-oh. Not breaking news, but this is a little bit fun.
Uh-oh. What?
The NBA has fined Lakers president Magic Johnson $50,000 for tampering with Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo. He made public comments about him in an interview. So Magic just seems to not be able to understand this thing about not commenting on other players under contract. This tampering thing is just this eludes him.
What interview? Like, when did you?
I'm not sure, but apparently he spoke about Giannis Antetokounmpo in an interview, which. So at first, I mean, I can sort of respect the names that's attached to his two fines, like Paul George and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, that's a lot better. Like, could you imagine if you got slapped with a $50,000 fine for talking about Cameron Payne? That'd be so bad.
Right. Well, that actually, we should talk about this as well. I forget who reported it, so apologies in advance. Let me see if I can find it. Someone today reported that the Lakers have shifted their free agent priorities from 2018. Here we go. Yeah, it was Ramona Shelburne and Adrian Wojnarowski.
Right.
And I saw you had a good tweet about this that said, like, every story about the Lakers how to get to the trade deadline should lead with this sentence. So I'm going to just read it verbatim from Ramona and Woj. As the Los Angeles Lakers become more realistic about the franchise's chances of snaring superstars in the free agent class of 2018... the front office is increasingly looking through a longer lens in its team building process. So they said they're not abandoning their summer pursuit of stars, but rather they are recalibrating their focus on a 2019 class that could include Kawhi Leonard, Klay Thompson, and Jimmy Butler.
Well, we're not disregarding, we're not ignoring this summer, but we are focusing on next summer instead. Yes, you are. You are going to, you are basically saying screw 2018, and that's fine.
Right.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You re-sign Julius Randle, and then you do the whole Blake Griffin thing. Mm-hmm. You re-sign him to trade him.
Yep.
It's fine. Makes sense. Now, I will say this. If they're going to pivot, there's no excuse to not go out and play Julius Randle like an insane amount of minutes from here on out.
Totally agree. Also, I mean, if they're going to pivot, the D'Angelo Russell trade is going to look a lot worse. It already looks bad, but it's going to look a lot worse if they didn't need to make that move. Like, it was already very reckless to make that move. You make that kind of move when you have guys lined up that are going to sign, and you just need to clear the cap space. That's what, when the Clippers, or when the Rockets got Chris Paul last summer, that's when Daryl Morey was like, he called every franchise across the league and was like, give me every non-guaranteed contract you have. That's when you make that move. If you trade it a year in advance, and then D'Angelo Russell, I know he got hurt, but he came back, and you know, he started the year on fire. He's come back, and he's starting to round back into form as well.
He's good.
Yeah. Like, you screwed up, Lakers. That's atrocious. And now, I mean, now you have to wonder, what do they do with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Brook Lopez, both of whom are on expiring deals? Do you re-sign both of them, and do you try to flip them before Thursday? Do you re-sign them on another one-year deal and hope, you know, they have some value as an expiring contract? Like, Brook Lopez hates his life right now. I would be very surprised if Brook Lopez is willing to re-sign in L.A., unless they just offer him so much more money than anywhere else that, you know, he puts that ahead of his own happiness. But,
and the same goes for KCP, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, KCP's been, he's been like, he's fine, but he's been kind of sneaky bad.
Yeah, which is his MO.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
true.
No, let's be honest. I mean, he's playing much like himself, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know. I mean, he's going to fall into that category of guys like Nerlens Noel's the same way. They got offered these huge extensions in the last year or so. How many of those guys are going to, you know, come back and regret? Like, didn't KCP got offered like 5 years, $80 million, right?
I think so, yeah.
There is no way in hell Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is getting $80 million in the free agent market this year. No way.
No, no. So it's a good thing he got his $18 million this year.
Yeah.
All he needs is 62 to make it up over the next three seasons.
Yeah, totally going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, Mort. Let's pivot away from the Lakers. We'll go to their rivals, the Boston Celtics, who are apparently shopping Marcus Smart, according to new Mark Stein of the New York Times. It's a tongue twister there. Apparently the Denver Nuggets have been inquiring about him. It seems like the Celtics are shopping for a first-round pick, which would then float in a trade offer for either Tyreke Evans or Lou Williams.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, but that's funny to me, a first-round draft pick for Marcus Smart.
I mean...
Come on. Yeah. I mean, look. We were sitting here over the past few weeks talking about how much first-rounders are worth.
Right.
Marcus Smart is up for an extension, first of all.
Yep.
Or up for, not an extension, sorry, but he's going to be a restricted free agent. Exactly, so he'll be up for a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked at his stats for, I want to say, a month, but I'm without looking, I'm probably going to be accurate in my assumption that he's still not shooting over 40% from the field, right?
You are correct. And not only he's out for probably until the All-Star break because he recently got into an altercation with a wall.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was smart. Smart.
There it is.
Okay, there it is.
Yeah.
But, okay, so 36% from the field, 29.9% from downtown. Like, yeah, okay, he's a world beater defensively, but he's a high turnover, low efficiency player on the other end. There's, like, him being productive, I kind of think is a product of Brad Stevens a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be nervous to seeing him in a different uniform. He could go completely Avery Bradley / Jay Crowder on it.
Mm-hmm.
and that's not worth giving up a first rounder. Yeah. I mean, I'm not touching Marcus Smart if the price is a first round draft pick. No. If Danny Ainge gets a first round draft pick for Marcus Smart, I'm just gonna give up.
Yeah.
That's,
I would
then
agree.
Nothing makes sense. It
kind of feels like this is gonna be the token. Like every year Danny Ainge has the "we were so close to making this deal the deadline." It feels like we were so close to getting a first round pick for Marcus Smart at the deadline. No, you weren't.
Nope. I don't think so. You would have to be a really, really bad management team. Like Phil Jackson with the Knicks.
Right.
Ish. Yeah.
But here's my question. If they want to get in on Tyreek Evans or Lou Williams, why not, like, shouldn't either the Clippers or the Grizzlies just consider trading like one of those guys for Marcus Smart and a second round pick?
Or just call up Boston and say, if you want Lou, give us 28th.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why. Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm not going to say Denver's trading a first round pick for him, but let's say they give up, I don't know, Malik Beasley.
Yeah, I guess I'd do that, but not like Malik Beasley in a second.
Yeah, or just Malik Beasley straight up. I mean, he was a first round pick a year ago, right?
I would do that.
Yeah,
I would do that just to bolster the defense.
Mm-hmm. Do you like?
But I mean,
do you like Marcus Smart's fit in Denver?
I don't like Marcus Smart's fit anywhere. No, I mean, look, I realize that I'm always bashing on guys who can't shoot, but in a league where it's so essential to have that skill, it's just, I don't see how you can legitimately think, oh, we should get a guy in here who can't shoot and he'll work for us, like he'll upgrade us. I don't think that's how it works anymore.
I would agree. Also, for Denver, they've got a Nikola Jokic problem on their hands, because they can either decline his team option this summer, make him a restricted free agent, or they can pick up a very cheap option on him for 2018-19, but then he becomes an unrestricted free agent. So you almost have to decline his option this summer and make sure you can retain him.
Why would he be an unrestricted free agent after that?
Because he was a second round pick.
Does that go straight to unrestricted, though?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I actually did not know that. I thought you kept... All right. I mean, they would still have bird rights on him, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, he would have the right to go anywhere.
Right.
So, you have to...
That's interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
You almost have to decline that option.
Yeah. Not just almost. You obviously have to. But I think it will also be, like, to show respect, honestly.
I mean, it would be a dick move if, I mean, this is a guy you consider a franchise player. It would be shitty to make him earn, what I think it's like 1.6 million dollars next year.
Yeah, exactly. And he's you should move that point somewhere, like, to the right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
If you trade for Marcus Smart, I mean, you're going to give Jokic, if not the max, very close to it.
Yeah.
But
and you have Paul earning 30-something.
Mm-hmm. Gary Harris, he has the extension kick in next year for 16.5.
Will Barton is an unrestricted free agent as well.
Wilson Chandler has a 12.8 million player option. Fareed has 13.8 left. Like, they're going to be way capped out. So then you're going to have Marcus Smart, who you also have to sign to an extension. Like, then you're going to plunge deep into the luxury tax.
Yeah. Nuggets, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. I wouldn't either.
No.
Unless you can get off of... If you can get off of Fareed's contract, then it's worth discussing. But...
Yeah, but Boston just picked up Greg Monroe.
Yeah.
So...
But, right, yeah. I mean, I don't think Boston would do it. Maybe they would do... Fareed plus like a top 10 protected first for Smart. Like Boston would do that. I don't know if Denver would.
Oh, yeah. Obviously.
Right. So, I mean,
yeah.
that might be the incentive. Is it's like a Nikola Mirotic deal. You can dump a bad salary.
But, yeah.
You know, I don't even think that would be cap. Actually, I'm sure that would not be cap legal for both sides. But
yeah. But like, just hang on for a minute here. Like, is there even a place outside of Boston where Marcus Smart makes sense? Like, okay, you could always pluck him into like San Antonio and Golden State because there are teams that are so well structured. But let's take the Uber teams out of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where does he fit?
I don't know. That's
Cleveland.
It's kind of why I'm interested. I don't know how valuable. I guess his matching rights will be valuable, because I don't think he's going to get a huge offer this summer. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if he only has to get, or if he has to settle for the mid-level. But a lot of these guys, this is worth an entirely separate episode at some point. A lot of the free agents this summer should sign 2-year deals.
Yeah.
Because when all of the bad contracts from 2016 come off the books, it's going to be another spending spree. But if you lock yourself into a 4-year deal, you're screwing yourself out again. Like, you already got screwed by 2016. Everyone in the NBA should be trying to become a free agent in 2020.
I think it was Bobby Marks who was on Voce's podcast recently who said that, I don't remember the figures 100%, but I think it was that in this season, 3.1 or 3.2 billion were committed in salaries. Mm-hmm. And for next season, it's already up to 3 billion.
Yeah.
So like, there's just so little financial movement coming on.
Right.
And what makes things even more interesting as well, one of the teams that will have cap space, the Bulls, have more or less just put themselves out of the race, mm-hmm. which the Lakers have now as well.
Yep.
So you have two teams with cap space who are pulling out of free agency for this summer.
Yep. Yeah, he actually had a story. Him and Brian Windhorst published a story yesterday along that same line, just saying like already 12 teams are currently projected to be in the luxury tax next year. Another handful could easily get there by re-signing their key free agents, including like the Milwaukee Bucks if they re-sign Jabari Parker. Here's your thing. Teams are paying a players a collective $3.13 billion in salaries. They already have $3.02 billion committed next year, and the cap's only supposed to rise $2 million, which is only $60 million added to the cap across the league.
Yeah, that's. Oh my god! Yeah.
So right there is. I mean, we've been saying this for months now. There is not much cap space across the league this summer. It's going to be a buyer's market. The teams, you know, the ones that go after LeBron James and Paul George and DeMarcus Cousins, those guys are going to get max or close to max, maybe in DeMarcus's case because of the injury. After that, like, Isaiah Thomas is not getting a max deal this summer.
No.
It's gone. No. Like, I mean, and we're going back to the point where a max deal is reserved for the truly elite players. Like,
which you talked about a lot, to your credit. Like, you actually challenged this thing a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, you, on this podcast, you were like, at what point does the big contracts just handed out to every starter become too much?
Yeah.
Like, you were on this 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty easy to foresee this, I think. I mean,
yeah.
The cap was going to jump. It jumped $24 million that one summer.
Mm.
Every team spent, or I mean, all the teams with cap space spent recklessly. But the cap wasn't going to keep jumping $24 million every summer. It was going to jump. I mean, it was projected to jump more than it has. I mean, it was supposed to go up to $107 million for 2018-19, according to Marks and Windhorst. Now it's only $101 million. So a smaller than expected growth is only further exacerbating this problem.
Yeah. But
I mean, yeah, like at a certain point, the annual raises in salary from the contract signed in 2016 were already expected to outpace the raises in the salary cap.
Mm.
So those contracts were already going to take up a bigger proportion of your cap each year when you sign those deals.
Yep.
Yeah. That is a long-winded way to say...
No, you're right.
but for like for Marcus Smart or for Julius Randle, for any of the other guys, Rodney Hood, who we'll talk about in a minute, yeah, all of those guys are going to be restricted free agents this year. You know, if you're coming at it from a perspective of 2 years ago, you're like, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to acquire them because they're all going to get $80 million deals in free agency. No, they aren't. Those guys are not getting $80 million deals.
Qualifying offer.
Yeah. I mean, like...
Some good.
Nerlens Noel got 4 years, $70 million. He regrets not taking that deal right now. He's not getting $70 million in free agency. Same with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. We said it earlier in this episode. He turned down $80 million. He's not getting $80 million. These offers are not there. You're going to... Like, teams are going to be... A lot of teams are going to be limited to the mid-level exception, which is a little... under $9 million for non-taxpayers. That's it. That's where we're, that's going to be the market for non-superstars this year.
I would agree. I'm just going to go back to the whole Magic Johnson story because I'm going to apologize to Magic.
Oh,
that fine is ridiculous. I have the quote right here.
Okay,
which seemed to provoke the fine from the NBA.
I see it. Oh no.
Yeah. With his ball Magic talking here, with his ball handling skills and his passing ability, he plays above the rim. I could never do that, but in his understanding of the game, his basketball IQ, his creativity of shots for his teammates, that's where we have the same thing. He can bring it down, make a pass, make a play. I'm just happy he's starting in the All-Star game because he deserves that, and he's going to be like an MVP, a champion. This dude, he's going to put Milwaukee on the map, and I think he's going to bring them a championship one day. So... Wow, if that's why he was fined $50K for tampering, I'm gonna disagree overwhelmingly with the NBA on this one then, because this is not talking to Magic the executive. This is talking to Magic the player. I know it's like hard to differentiate because of the position that he's in, but this guy is just complimenting Giannis. He's not doing anything else. I think it should be fair game, whoever you ask, to compliment someone else without, you know, calling it tampering.
I think that's the problem. And it's hard. It's Magic is having a hard time with this because he's not been an executive for so long. But as an executive, I'm going to read this from Kyle Newbeck of Philly Voice, just tweeted this out. And this is from Larry Kuhn, CBA FAQ, which is the most invaluable.
Oh, it's our Bible.
Yeah.
It's our Bible.
The quote is, "The only allowed response when talking about players under contract with other teams is to decline comment." It's just, it's the letter of the law. And I mean, I agree with you, Mort. It seems dumb.
Okay.
But that's the rule. And I can understand why the NBA would be sensitive about that. I agree. Like, it's harmless. He's it's an NBA legend complimenting an up-and-coming superstar. That's really nice. And I'm sure it means a lot to Giannis to hear that. But then the NBA is thinking, well, when Giannis is a free agent in 2020, is that planting a seed in the back of his mind that he wants to go to the Lakers and hang out with Magic Johnson? I get it.
Yeah. No. Oh, this is where, you know, bureaucracy can be a little bit frustrating because Magic, as much as we make fun of Magic in terms of his eternal optimism and positivity,
right.
You know, he's still one of the greatest to ever lace them up. So obviously we're interested in hearing, you know, when he really goes on like to talk about new players or upcoming guys, like that's obviously interesting to hear. Like if he sees something of himself in a different player, everyone wants to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess it's a different age, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, Mort, let's pivot. We are going to stick with a report from Adrian Wojnarowski. He reported this Tuesday that the Celtics, Nuggets, and Philadelphia 76ers are front runners on Tyreke Evans. Miami is also in the hunt. So, Mort, I want you to ask me what I think about the Sixers trading or being a front runner for Tyreke Evans.
So, Brian, outside of being nervous about Joel Embiid's health, how do you feel about... No, that was cruel. How do you feel about being a front runner for Tyreke Evans this coming trade deadline, 48 hours away?
First off, I'm not nervous about Joel Embiid's health because A, he just played his first back-to-back ever and survived. B, he went to the Super Bowl. C, the Eagles then won the Super Bowl. D, now afterward, he hijacked local news and said, we're next. So for whatever reason, the sun is shining on Philadelphia at the moment. Joel Embiid, knock on wood, is going to have a long and healthy career, and he's going to lead us back to the promised land someday. On the Tyreek Evans note, I tweeted this yesterday. I said, the emotional swing from the Eagles winning the Super Bowl to the Sixers trading a first-round pick for Tyreek Evans is going to be wild. And that is exactly how I feel. Because God help me, if the Sixers trade a first-round pick for a rental in Tyreek Evans in a season when they have no chance of winning a championship, that is the dumbest shit ever. That said, Brian Colangelo is 100% going to do it. So I'm preparing myself for it. Mm-hmm. It's just stupid. It's just a really dumb idea. The Sixers are where the 2016 Eagles are. They are a young, fun team that makes a bunch of dumb mistakes. They realize they have their franchise pieces in Embiid and Simmons, and hopefully Markelle Fultz if he ever relearns to shoot and gets over the shoulder injury. That's great. Like, these are the... This is a stepping stone season. This is
pretty big piece there. You just skipped over in terms of Fultz, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, that's true. But even if... I mean, even if Markelle Fultz does not... Like, God forbid... Markelle Fultz never relearns to shoot, and this shoulder injury just plagues him for the rest of his career.
Yep.
They still have Embiid and Simmons. Like, yes.
Yeah, but that's not enough.
Yeah, but you could build around those guys. You've got two critical pieces. Like, this was the whole point of the process, was to get those guys to build around. Like, the Orlando Magic have been rebuilding for a year longer than the Sixers have. They have no one.
I know, but part of the rebuild was also, or the process was also to get like a guy like Fultz, who should be that third piece, because he would be cost controlled alongside Ben Simmons, alongside Joel Embiid, so you could play the free agency market as well as having three effing superstars coming up through the ranks.
Yeah.
Having one superstar down, potential superstar, I should say, down, is a major blow and would have to stretch you a little bit thinner.
Yeah, it would hurt. It would undeniably hurt, and it would lower the upside, the long-term upside on this team. But
yeah,
they would still be, they'll still be in the mix. As long as Embiid stays upright, they're still in the playoff mix for the next however long he's under contract, which is at least
that's true. And also, I mean, I don't think Markelle Fultz's shoulder injury is going to become a long-term thing. It's just a weird thing that I'm just looking forward to Lee Jenkins or someone coming out with a tell-all piece.
Yeah, me too. That would be great. I know if the I don't know what's happening. No one really seems to know what's happening outside of the organization, or they're just not being clear about it. But we should be used to this. This happens with the Sixers every goddamn year. They have weird injury management, and their top rookie misses their entire first season. This is not news. The only news is that they're handling it strangely. But going back to Tyreek Evans, if they can, like, if they could trade Trevor Booker, I mean, they have 4 second-round picks in this year's draft class. They are not, I mean, you can draft and stash with a couple of them, but they just don't have the roster space to accommodate 4 second-round picks unless you draft and stash all of them. So if you package 2 of them for Tyreek Evans and you put, you know, Trevor Booker just to match salaries, that's fine. But, like, don't trade a first-round pick. It's going to be in the mid-first round. You can get a good player with that. Or if the Lakers pick conveys and then you get your own pick, you can package the two and move up. They should not. They are still not at the point. Like, Boston, I get it. Boston is in win-now mode. I mean, they have a very realistic chance of going to the finals. You saw that Warriors-Celtics game from a couple weeks ago. Add Tyreek Evans to that core. I'm not saying they're going to beat the Warriors for sure, but they would have a chance. It would at least be an entertaining series. I mean, why not? But, like, the Sixers just aren't at that point. I would frankly say the same about the Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets might just want to have some sign of progress and make it, you know, make it to the playoffs, at least get that experience for Jokic and Gary Harris and Jamal Murray. The Sixers are, I mean, if they just stand pat, or if they, you know, if they trade a second-round pick for Marco Bellinelli, they'll still have a realistic chance of making the playoffs. I just don't like the idea of trading a first round pick, no matter how protected it is. I don't care if it's top 20 protected.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't do it for rental.
So who should Memphis target for Tyreek to get that elusive first round pick?
I mean, I would say Boston, as you said earlier, you know, trade
the 28th.
Yeah. And if they, I mean, shit, if they're serious about giving up Marcus Smart, send him to Boston.
Send for Marcus?
Marcus, if Memphis doesn't only want the 28, send Marcus Smart and a second rounder for Tyreek Evans.
I guess. I'm not too crazy about taking on Marcus Smart if I'm Memphis, especially considering he's up for a new deal, because it seems like they have enough bad deals on the roster.
Right. Yeah. But again, who's going to give Marcus Smart in restricted free agency? Who's going to give him a huge deal?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like, but then he could take the qualifying offer.
Yeah.
And then be out of there after a year.
And
so
what did you give up? Yeah. You gave up Tyreek Evans in a rental. Who's also going to be out of there this summer.
Yeah, but if you got Boston's 28th pick.
Yeah. I mean, I would, like, if you're Memphis, that should be the number one target. But if Boston says no, then...
Okay, yeah.
Take Marcus Smart. I guess. I like the idea of Boston going for Tyreek Evans. I hate the idea of Philly going for him. I am lukewarm on Denver.
Mm, I would agree with that.
So let's switch to another guard who may be moving teams by Thursday. Rodney Hood.
We talked about him.
We did. So Tony Jones of the Salt Lake Tribune followed up, I believe, yesterday as well. Reported the Thunder, Bulls, and Pistons are all in on the bidding for Rodney Hood.
Pistons is interesting.
I don't know what they have to give up after the
Blazers. That's the thing. Would have to be like Stanley Johnson.
But the same goes for the Thunder. And we talked about this, I think, last episode or two episodes ago. They owe their first-round picks in 2018 and 2020, so the earliest they can trade is 2022. I mean, they don't want to give up Terrence Ferguson.
Well, that's the thing. I was just about to mention him. Yeah. Like, Terrence Ferguson, potentially.
But it doesn't... It sounds like they don't want to give him up. So it's like Alex Abrines, Josh Huestis, Zachary Johnson, Jeremy Grant. Yeah, none of those guys are going to move the needle for Utah in getting Rodney Hood.
Right. Right. Terrence Ferguson, at least, is young, athletic, can shoot the three ball. There's something to build on there. And let's be honest here. If OKC has a deal for Rodney Hood, for Terrence Ferguson, and they decline, you would have to argue that they're not in this year.
Yeah.
Even with a slightly old Carmelo Anthony and in his prime Paul George. Oh, and in his prime Russell Westbrook as well. I keep forgetting Russ is actually a little bit up there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems like I can understand their motivation for wanting Rodney Hood, especially with Andre Roberson out. Their defense has started to flag a little bit. It's not like Hood is an all-world defender like Roberson, but Ferguson, in the five games since Roberson went out, he has 2 points on 0-4 shooting total.
Yeah. Like that's not great.
They need more than that. They have a strong starting five otherwise in Russ, Paul George, Steven Adams, and Carmelo. They need something out of the two-guard spot. So whether it's Hood, whether it's Tyreek Evans, whether it's the Williams, whether it's a Marco Bellinelli or a Garrett Temple, they need someone there. Or they need Terrence Ferguson to... I mean, he had a couple big games earlier this year. It's not like he's incapable of playing well. But the early returns and their defense has also started to flag a little bit. I know, super small sample size, but they were fifth in terms of defensive efficiency before Roberson went down. They're allowing about 5.1 points more per 100 possessions in the five games since. So... I don't know. I like the idea of it. I just, for both the Thunder and the Pistons, it seems like they don't necessarily have the assets. I mean, more the Bulls, in terms of assets at least, seem to be best positioned for him.
Yeah, but he just doesn't make sense with Zach LaVine there.
Yeah, right.
I mean, again, we touched about this. I even recorded an episode on Bulls HQ podcast with Mark Karantzoulis this morning, where we went into deep detail about this. And... essentially, Jazz fans are going to hate me, Rodney Hood is really nothing but just a scorer. Mm-hmm. He's not a strong defender. He's mm-hmm. a miserable rebounder for someone his size. Mm-hmm. He's not a playmaker. He shoots. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get to the line a whole lot. And all that is basically the statistical profile of Zach LaVine. Mm-hmm. So if you want to combine the two at the 2 and 3, because at 6'8", Hood should be able to play the 3. I mean, what are you looking for there? Mm-hmm. Just scoring? That's going to be a problem. You would need more.
Yeah.
I mean, then the hope is that you get like a Luka Doncic in the draft, and you kind of slide Zach down to the 1, but let Luka handle the basketball for the most part, and he sets up those two wing players for a lot of easy buckets. That's fine in theory, at least offensively, but whew, defensively it would be a train wreck. And I don't see the need there, unless he was willing to completely like become a new player, like coming off the bench. Like if he was willing to be this super sub who just like Jamal Crawford it up for the rest of his career, then fine, we could talk. But, yeah, he doesn't make a whole lot of sense in Chicago. He makes sense for a team that's pretty deprived of talent, especially scoring talent.
Mm-hmm. And it goes back to he's also going to be a restricted free agent this summer. Mm. Are you going to give up a lot to get a guy? I mean, Tony Jones of the Salt Lake Tribune said the Jazz ideally want a first-round pick for him, but they want, quote, an asset. Are you going to give up a first-round pick for the right to possibly overpay Rodney Hood?
Oh, no. No.
And it doesn't matter what, you know, a rebuilding team like the Bulls or a team that's going kind of all in like the Pistons or the Thunder, I don't know that any team should really want to give up a first-round pick for, you know, Rodney Hood's a good player. And, you know, you could probably get him if you wanted to overpay him in restricted free agency. I don't think the Jazz, depending on how much you overpaid him by, the Jazz might just be willing to let him walk. Yeah. So,
but that's the thing. You don't want to be in that position, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's worth getting his matching rights for sure. Is it worth a first round pick?
No. Yeah. No. I mean, look, this is a pretty clear answer. It's not. It's really not. I mean, he's, as you said, he's a good player, but he comes with severe limitations. Mm-hmm. Like, you would need to carve out a very specific role for him.
Yeah. I guess the Cavs would actually be one semi-okay landing spot, especially if they're willing to give up, not the Brooklyn pick, obviously not the Brooklyn pick, mm-hmm. but give up their own pick.
Yeah, yeah. The number...
It'll be...
24th now. So what, like as a J.R. Smith replacement?
Well, just as a guy who can, you know, who can help you rebuild if and when LeBron James leaves this summer.
Yeah. Again, it all hinges on what you expect to re-sign him for.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to sling out a number. I probably would not pay him more than $12 million a year.
Yeah, I think we discussed him... When we discussed him recently, you asked, would I pay him more than Robert Covington, who after this year, I believe, is around 4 years, $44, $45 million. That seems like a fair number for him.
Mm.
Gary Harris, I believe, got 4 years, 70-ish, somewhere around there. He got 4 years, It was 4 years, 84, but I think only 72 is guaranteed, I want to say.
Yeah, but that all of that is going to be guaranteed because he's damn good. Yeah, so everything's going to be picked up.
Oh, no, it was 4 years, 74 with a $2.5 million annual unlikely bonus, according to Spotrac. But then, So 74 guaranteed, 84 total. Yeah. I don't think Rodney Hood is sniffing that.
No.
I mean, you know, Gary Harris is a much better player. And still, you know, Gary Harris is not making a max deal by any means. So... it wouldn't surprise me to see Rodney Hood get 460 at the very most.
Yeah.
But I would hope teams exercise more fiscal restraint and do something, as you said, around 445. You know, Deion Waiters got 452 last year. That's the upper limit of where I would go.
Mm-hmm. And ironically, the Bulls are in a similar position with Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
I mean, look, a lot of people have pegged Zach LaVine's future salary to be in the 20s.
Yep.
When I look at what he's doing and how bad he is defensively,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking 15 at the most.
Yep, yep, yep.
Because you alluded to this right before. These guys are not superstars.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be paid max deals.
Right.
I know the Bulls are betting a lot on Zach LaVine, and if they traded for Rodney Hood, would be betting on him too. But that doesn't mean they should overpay right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree. But again, that goes back to all of these guys. I stand firmly by this. Any of these restricted free agents, unless you have a terrifying injury history, sign a two-year deal, become a free agent in 2020. There's about to be another huge cap boom then, because all of those bad 2016 deals come off the books.
This is actually pretty interesting. Do you think that GMs who... Well, okay, the specific GMs probably did learn. The guys who signed the bad deals in 2016, the Evan Turners, the Mian Mahimis, Moskov, dang, the whole shalom there.
Bazemore, Biombo,
Yeah, exactly, all those. Do you think the league learned?
I would say yes, if only because we haven't seen as many of those last year.
Well, obviously, money would dry it up.
Right, right. But, I would... It's going to be... It'll be a fascinating thing to track in 2019 and 2020 once teams start opening up more cap space. Because desperation will definitely drive some teams to overplay middling players. Like, that's what it always comes down to, is desperate GMs trying to save their jobs... go in on this short-term push. And we've said this before. We don't know if it's the GM or, like, if ownership is pushing for them. We've been rebuilding for 5 years. We expect more progress. Go get someone. So.
Entirely feasible.
Yeah, like, there, unless there is a complete change in ownership in the next couple of years, like, there are always still going to be bad owners who prioritize the short-term over the long-term. And at that point, it might not matter who you have as your front office unless your GM can successfully convince your owner, look, this is the dumb way to approach building a team.
Even if you're looking at the short term, how do you justify handing over $70 million to Bismack Biyombo?
And then keeping Nikola Vucevic? I have no
idea. Right.
Yeah. More, since we're on the topic of Cleveland, we should at least address this rumor, or not rumor, this report from Shams Charania of Yahoo Sports. He reported Tuesday that LeBron James remains determined to see the season through in Cleveland and will not waive his no-trade clause.
Breaking news! LeBron James will not waive his no-trade clause because apparently he was shopped. Right. Come on. Yeah, it's the biggest non-news of the day. Of course he wouldn't.
I don't know if Cleveland shopped him. It sounds like teams probably called Cleveland and was like, hey, your season's going down the shitter very quickly. What would it
do
take?
Do you want to... Yeah. Okay. I know technically LeBron was traded back from Cleveland to Miami,
in a
sign trade, right. But that was technicality,
right.
If LeBron was ever traded mid-season, that would be historic.
Oh my god, it would break Twitter.
Yeah, completely. LeBron James traded to the Jazz, like what? It would just make no sense. You touched upon this before we started recording. You said this was LeBron just giving the middle finger to Dan Gilbert.
Yep.
I guess, yeah. I mean, obviously, he does not want to see Dan Gilbert, earn assets off of LeBron himself. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I also think he does not even want to spend half a season in a place where he does not have control.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's also an ego element. I don't think this is entirely, I'm not going to waive the no-trade clause because of Dan Gilbert. I think there's a lot of, Team LeBron control in over this. Because as we know, I mean, this is like the biggest public secret about LeBron. He is acting as a pseudo general manager and a coach and everything else. And if he goes to a place where they don't take that kind of shit, to say it outright, then he's not going to be happy there. So I think a lot of it for him comes back to LeBron control.
I agree. I mean, it's hypothetically, Mort, let's say he were to waive the no trade clause. Again, he's not going to. This is a pure hypothetical. Stay out of our mentions, Cleveland fans. But what would it take to get LeBron James, knowing that he's going to be a free agent this summer?
Yeah, and knowing there's a strong possibility that he's going to leave you.
Right.
Then not a whole lot, honestly, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But like, I wouldn't give up a whole lot. Like, let's take the worst team in the league. That's the Hawks. I would not even give up the draft pick.
Yeah. Oh, because he's definitely going to leave you. He would have to be, if it's a, like, if it was OKC, I would give up Carmelo and whatever else. Anything not named Russell Westbrook, Paul George, or Steven Adams.
Right.
But that's because not going to do it for Cleveland.
No. That's because you already have pieces, right?
Right.
Right. Okay, so it depends entirely on situation.
I guess OKC, you would give up Paul George for LeBron. Because both are going to be free agents. Both could leave you.
Yeah, straight up. Oh, absolutely.
But you'd probably have to do more than just straight up. Like Paul George, Terrence Ferguson in the 2022 second. Or the first.
So here's an interesting one. Do you do Kawhi straight up for LeBron in the hopes that Greg Popovich and LeBron can at least carry the Spurs to one more title?
Oh my God.
And then, like, what do you do? I don't do it. I don't touch it. I don't touch it because...
Where is Zara when we need her?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. But like, I don't touch it, but no. I wouldn't blame people who would consider it.
Unless the Kawhi drama behind the scenes is a lot worse, you know, that report from a couple weeks ago. If that's
all right,
if that's real, then you probably have to consider it. But otherwise, no, because Kawhi's under contract for one more year after this, and he's younger. You can, you know, you can feasibly build around Kawhi for the next decade if you want. LeBron, okay, and we'll talk about this probably closer to free agency. I'm going to write about it at some point in the coming days, but like, if you get LeBron James on your team, he kind of holds you hostage.
Oh, he does, which is why you're gonna hate my next one.
Oh, don't you do it.
Oh, I am. LeBron for Ben Simmons, straight up.
No, I wouldn't do it
for Ben Simmons.
No,
really? Wow.
Because what, like, what's, he's not, they're not gonna win a title this year regardless, and then you're giving up
Ben Simmons. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure? If you replace Ben Simmons with LeBron James, the much, much superior player at this point.
Oh no, this is not about I'm not saying Ben Simmons is a better player than LeBron.
Obviously. No. You have brains, don't worry.
Yeah.
But like, are we absolutely certain that this current Philly squad with LeBron instead of Ben Simmons could not win a title?
I'm pretty certain, yeah, because they still make a bunch of stupid-ass mistakes because they're a really young team.
But would they make those mistakes with LeBron there?
Yeah, because LeBron...
Like, handling the ball?
LeBron, you'd have to get used to... It's always hard for guys who get traded at the deadline to establish chemistry. Like, it's rare to You know, like, Yusuf Nurkic last year helped Portland and it was, like, really good right away. But that's rare. Like, it's often hard... Especially when you have a guy like LeBron who you have to tailor your entire offense and defense around. So I think like just having to recalibrate around LeBron James would be difficult enough as is. I mean, like the Sixers, you would
consider it.
No, I mean, they would be a clear playoff team. They would probably be a legit threat at that point. They might make the finals. They at least have a chance to make the finals. I still don't think they beat the Warriors, though. And then if LeBron leaves, then you just gave away 7 years of team control. I mean, that's what it all comes down to for the Sixers, is Ben Simmons is on the second year of his rookie deal, so he's going to be really underpaid for the next 2 years. And then you can sign him to another 5-year deal because he'll be free.
We're only talking for half a season, though. We're going for the ring here. That's all that matters.
Just, if it's just for the ring, hell yeah. If I'm like, if I'm not thinking about, if I think North Korea is going to nuke us in July 2018, then shit, why not? Trade Fultz for CJ McCollum. Let's do it. Let's go wild. But unfortunately, I have a bad feeling that we're not going to get nuked, and we're going to have to live through the remaining after July. So,
but it doesn't matter because LeBron is obviously being traded for Gordon Hayward and reunited with Kyrie in Boston.
Now that would be fun. If only that they could still be so that Brooklyn fun. Pick.
Could you imagine like the face of Kyrie if he learned that LeBron had been traded there?
That would be pretty excellent.
And just imagine, like, he learned while being interviewed, like, on camera.
Yeah. Kyrie, you've had this bad quad for 3 games, so they just traded LeBron James. How do you feel?
I would honestly pay money to watch that.
Oh, I would too. You know what? I actually, I do have one idea.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm going to verify that it's cap legal before I even propose it.
Oh, you're sending him to Washington.
How'd you know?
Yeah, I could just imagine this is an Otto Porter deal.
Yeah. Oh, but no, it's not. But
no?
It's not allowed because if this were allowed, it does not. I would say John Wall, because he signed a designated veteran player exception, so he can't be traded for 1 year. So he's not eligible to be traded until July 2016 of this year.
Yeah.
But if I'm
Washington and I only have LeBron for half a season, I'm not offering Wall or Beal. I'm offering Otto Porter, and I feel really bad about it, and I'm nervous, and I'm sweating, and I will feel so bad for half a year.
See, I think I would. If I'm Washington, I kind of think you do entertain Wall for LeBron.
For half a year?
Yeah. There's some weird shit going on in Washington. Like, did you see the thing about, like, Marcin Gortat after they won the other day said, like, that was a good team win, and you put team in quotes because Wall's been hurt.
But Marcin Gortat is the closest thing to an NBA depression there is. He's always pissed.
But both
he wants out.
Both Bradley Beal and Otto Porter in recent days have also talked about, like, there's just been more, like, ball movement and chemistry since Wall has left or since Wall got hurt. Like
I have seen that. It's weird.
It seems like
right?
there's some tension. Like, and we heard this, I forget if it was last year or 2 years ago, how like Beal and Wall didn't necessarily get along super great off the court. Like it feels like there might be more under the surface than we realize in Washington. And Wall is signed to that gigantic designated veteran player exception. He's going to be earning, I think, over $40 million by the end of it. It might be like a Blake Griffin thing where you signed him to this gigantic deal. Yeah. Mm. Here's 4 years, $170 million. So starting in 2019, 2020, he starts at 37.8, then 40.8, then 43.8. Then in 2022, 2023, his age 31 season, he's making $46.8 million.
Oh yeah,
I'm trading that for LeBron James. I want the hell out of that deal. He's already had a bunch of knee issues. He's not getting any younger. I would do that.
Oh, the contract angle. That's interesting. I'm not ready to give up on Wall. I'm not, but I get your thinking because that is a lot of money.
I'm not saying
I'll compromise.
Okay.
I want Jan Mahimi included somehow, or at least have a trade ready to get Jan Mahimi off the books as well. Then I'm just gonna like get every bad shit off the books and just build around Porter and Beal after LeBron inevitably leaves.
I mean, hypothetically, again, this deal is not legal because John Wall can't be traded until the end of July. But hypothetically, LeBron's making $33 million. Wall's only making $18 million right now. So you would almost have to include Mahimi or Gortat just to make it legal in terms of salary matching.
Nice. See, that I could get behind. That's what the hell are we doing right now?
Well, we're just we're shooting the breeze about what it would take to get LeBron James. Like, I mean, it would, yeah. You know, again, it's not going to happen. He's not waiving his no trade clause. John Wall can't be traded, but right. You know, it's a fun thought experiment because I don't know. I'm getting some bad vibes about Washington. I'm not just saying that
all right.
because That's Andrew fair. Sharp is a Washington fan and he talked shit about the process for the last 5 years. It's just
now I'm starting to doubt you because you're grinding your axe.
Right. No, it's legitimately like something. It would not surprise me if there is some bad blood between Wall and Beal, and that's a monster contract for John.
It
Wall.
Is. It is.
Like I think how we've been railing against, you know, guys who don't deserve getting the max in this episode. I think we're gonna look back in 2 years and start railing against the DVPE because John Wall is not among the list of players who I would feel comfortable giving that to. I don't know if there is. Well, I mean, like, there might be a one hand of who you could feel comfortable giving that to. It might be like LeBron, Steph, KD, Harden.
Yeah, would you feel comfortable giving LeBron that deal now?
No. Yeah, right. Like LeBron 4 years ago. But yes, a 33-year-old LeBron. No, I would not sign for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if we're going this route, Ryan, if we're just shooting the breeze here, then let's move on with this one. Steph Curry. Let's go down and check out what he's earning in his final year.
Well, he got the one, right?
Yeah, and he's on it right now. So he's earning $34.5 million now. Mm-hmm. But in 2021, 2022, he's earning $45.7 million.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, he's going to be, 33?
Yeah, it looks like that's his age 32 season. But I don't know when his birthday is.
No, but that's, let's see, March 14th. Okay. So he's about to turn 30. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Are we all in on that one?
I feel better about that one than I do about Walls because I feel
Curry's
success is not as derived from his athleticism. Like that shooting ability is not going anywhere.
Whereas, absolutely.
Like Walls' explosiveness, once that goes, I'm nervous.
Right. I get that, but still, Stephen Curry at the age of 33, 34,
mm-hmm.
like. You know that at that point in time, he's going to have lost a step.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, at that point in time, with that deal, I mean, I think we are, in 2 or 3 years, you and I are going to have a conversation that's going to be very fun.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's,
yep.
You also have to project out the salary cap that far, and there's no way to do that realistically, but...
Yeah,
the cap will probably be in the neighborhood of $120 million by then. So, you know, that contract, it's not like you're putting $45.7 million against $101 million cap. Like, he's not going to take up 45% of the cap. He'll probably be back in the neighborhood of 30 to 35%.
Yeah.
Which is what, that's what this contract was intended to be. It was supposed to be 35%.
But then again, I'm just thinking a little bit deeper here because... ESPN, they are losing a lot of subscriptions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They could be losing a lot of money.
Yep.
Which could take them out of the running for a renewal to the NBA rights.
Or at least they don't want to pay as much as they did. Yep.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So in comes what, Fox Sports?
Turner could swoop in for a bigger piece of the package. Or these streaming giants. I mean, Amazon, Netflix, Facebook, Twitter...
I've loved the idea of NBA on Netflix for so long. I've always wondered why Netflix did not expand into sports.
I mean,
I think it would make so much sense.
The NFL, I forget who just acquired the package. I think it might have been Fox Sports. Just sold Thursday Night Football for more than they got last time. So it seems like sports, I know, I mean, it feels like there's a bubble there, but it seems like... particularly the NFL and the NBA are the ones insulated from this ratings decline. It seems like those are the ones that networks are still going to be bidding outrageous amounts on.
weather. I don't get it with the NFL, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, it draws huge ratings. I think, I forget the exact statistic, but like somewhere, I think I want to say it was like 19 of the 20 top rated programs on television this year in America were NFL games.
Yeah, but weren't that in like the older generation? Wasn't it like they were losing a lot of ground on the younger audience?
Yeah, I mean, like, Super Bowl ratings were down 3%, but it's still, like, there were 100 million people who watched it.
Yeah, obviously. I'm just thinking long-term. I think NBA is probably a product that's going to have a more sustainable structure.
Right. Oh, I totally agree. So if that's the case, the NBA will be even more valuable in terms of broadcasting rights.
You're right. Yeah. Okay, so basically, NBA players won't go hungry to bed.
No, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
We're not going to record again before the deadline. So are there any trades that you're really hoping to see?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you actually mentioned him in our outline, in your email outline to me. Willy Hernan Gomez, mm-hmm. who wants out of New York.
Yep.
He's good. Yep. I want to see him go somewhere where he can flourish.
I agree.
I don't get why the Knicks are not playing him more. I get the whole Enes Kanter bit, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this is a legit player.
I totally agree.
On a good deal.
He looked great at the end of last season next to Kristaps. Yeah. I mean, we had Jared Dubin on at the beginning of this year, and we asked him, who do you think is going to be the starting center for the Knicks this year? Is it going to be Kanter or is it going to be Hernan Gomez? And we all came to the agreement that I hope it's Hernan Gomez.
Yep.
And then not only is he not the starter, but he fell behind Kyle O'Quinn. So he's barely playing.
Yeah. I mean, how many minutes has he played this year? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's very low. Way lower than it should be. So I'm with you there. I hope he gets freed.
I'm thinking of potential destinations for him. And obviously, this is so me, but obviously the first thing that pops into my head is the Spurs.
Oh, that would be fun. I mean, Boston would have been a good spot had they not just signed Greg Monroe. Or Milwaukee would have been a good spot had they not just traded for Tyler Zeller.
Well, Tyler Seller is Tyler Seller.
right.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I just want him out of New York, that's for sure. And also, I'm kind of still thinking about... I mentioned this trade a couple times on the podcast, and it's not rumored anywhere, but there's still this part of me going, Robin Lopez for Jonas Valanciunas just makes sense for Toronto, because I know that they are kind of working with giving Jonas just a bunch of shots in limited minutes. They're basically playing him like Greg Monroe was played in Milwaukee, just with a starter position instead.
Mm-hmm.
But Lopez just seems to be a guy that could elevate the Raptors a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You just got big eyes. Are you reading something interesting on Twitter? Is there breaking news?
No, there is not.
Did Markelle Fultz just regain his touch?
No. If anything, they would just shut Markelle Fultz down for the year.
Oh.
No.
Yeah.
No. I was trying to find other workable deals. I'm with you on wanting Lopez to go elsewhere. It sounds like the Bulls, I want to say it was Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune who reported Monday that they are heating up trade talks for him.
Yep.
So it sounds like they're hoping to get a first round pick for him. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either.
I can tell you a deal I don't want to see go down is the Sixers trading a first round pick for either Tyreke Evans or Lou Williams. But Kelly Scoletta, who writes for FanRag Sports and B-Ball Breakdown, among other sites, DM'd me earlier today. I'm guessing he's writing some trade piece, and he asked, Sixers get Lou Williams, Clippers get lottery protected first. Do you do it? And immediately my only response was, fuck no. Then I said, I fully expect Brian Colangelo to do something stupid like that, but... Mm-hmm. For the reasons I explained earlier. No.
Oh, yeah.
I hope the Sixers keep all of their first-round picks. I'd love to see them trade 2 second-rounders for Marco Bellinelli. What the hell? Go well.
Yeah. Then let's wrap this podcast up with one name, Brian.
Okay.
One of the biggest name out there on the trade market right now. And where do you think Kemba Walker is playing on Friday?
I think he's playing in Charlotte.
You don't think he gets traded?
No.
Nope.
Do you?
I'm not sure. I have a sneaky suspicion that Orlando is lurking around.
That would be interesting. especially, I mean, it sounds like Orlando is at least entertaining offers on Aaron Gordon for God knows why.
So. Oh, you got me. You caught my, I think there's something there.
I agree.
Yeah,
if you could, I know they hate Elfrid Payton, so something around Payton, Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Something along those lines would work.
Yeah, and take a bad deal back if you want.
Potentially.
Or you could just swap bad deals. You can get the Biombo deal going to Charlotte, send Batum or Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard back in Orlando. Let's do that.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even sure Orlando's crowd would welcome him back.
He's been playing okay this year.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. But no, I a deal centered around Kemba and Aaron Gordon, I could just sort of... I'm not saying it's going to go down, but I do think at some point during Thursday, you know, we're going to see a Woj tweet saying that those two teams are talking.
That would not surprise me.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. And by the way, you need to cover the trade deadline for me because I'm going to London on the very day. And I'm pissed at the NBA, by the way, because actually I'm pissed at myself, to be honest with you. Because I had forgotten that they moved up the trade deadline. Yeah. So when I was booking tickets, I was going, oh, okay, and we're coming back on the 16th. That's fine. Everything's working out like it should. I can do the live trade deadline thing that I always do. And then, nope, Mort, you're going to be on a plane because you're an idiot.
Yeah, that is true. I'm glad you mentioned that. We will still do a recap of the trade deadline, but to be determined whether Mort can pry away from London for a few minutes. To recap.
Well, there is internet. I've learned today there will be internet and fast internet. So hopefully.
There we go.
Hopefully.
There's hope.
But no promises. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, boy. Let's wrap things up with your crush of the week. Who you got?
Oh, man. I had it right before, and then we started talking. Hang on. Give me 1 second. Because it's always... Yeah. For some reason, you always throw me for a wrench with that one. Bojan Bogdanović.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, he's averaging 17.5 over the last five, shooting 52% from downtown on 5.4 attempts, hitting 88 from the line, and he's just doing so well. Pacers are 3-2, and he seems to be hitting that prime. Mm-hmm. You know, like he was always good. I think he had like a 44-point game with the Nets. A couple years back, but he's this natural scorer, and he seems to be understanding. Oh, I can do this on a regular basis now. I can get my shot. I'm an excellent shooter. Mm-hmm. I can just completely space out everything. I'll knock it down. I love the confidence. He's pulling up from weird angles and he's draining them, and he's just a no nonsense shooter. And right now he's riding a hot streak. I'm kind of interested in seeing. What Indiana does with him going forward.
Yeah, that's a good call. Both Bogdanoviches are playing well.
Yeah. Is that your pick?
Too. No, my pick. Yeah. I'm cheating this week. I have to choose the Philadelphia Eagles. I know they're not in the NBA, but my God, I have been riding on cloud nine since Sunday night. I might still be drunk. I'm not 100% sure about that one, but shout out to more. You'll enjoy this. Apologies for anyone who gets offended by this term, but the nickname of the Eagles quarterback, Nick Foles, throughout Philadelphia for the last couple days, or really the whole playoffs, has been Big Dick Nick, because he has been throwing just absolute dimes especially in the Vikings and the Patriots. Just an incredibly gutsy, well-played game from Foles, from their coach, Doug Peterson. Mort, I want to put this in NBA terms because I know the NFL is not your thing. But
I'm just sitting here listening and trying to... I'm understanding every fifth word.
Good. Well, here we go. I'm going to put it in NBA terms. So the Patriots are basically the Golden State Warriors.
I did know.
Yep.
Yeah.
So imagine if whenever a team plays Golden State, it got up to a 10-point lead late in the game. Their strategy then became just dribble out the clock for 20 seconds and then take a contested step back, 1-foot-legged, 28-foot three-pointer.
Right.
That's basically how most teams play the Patriots. They get up, or if they get up, they get really scared at the end, and then they try to bleed the clock and, like, play not to lose.
Yeah.
The Eagles coach played to win on Sunday. He made nice. He made just a series of gutsy calls from the fourth and one where Nick Foles caught a touchdown to the fourth down midway through the fourth quarter. Any, you know, 99% of NFL coaches punt there. Doug Peterson just went for the throat. Paid off huge. I spent an irresponsible amount of money on Super Bowl gear already. If my voice has been hoarse this episode, it's because I was screaming all of Sunday night. At some point, I will post the video of myself online right after they win. But I think my wife might need to divorce me first. But yeah.
For a myriad of reasons.
To her credit, so she's a Giants fan, or she used to be. She doesn't really care now. She basically, throughout our entire relationship, we've been dating for over 9 years now, her whole thing has just been anti-Eagles, just to troll me. And to her credit, she's been a very good sport on Sunday. She even said she hoped the Eagles won because she just knew how devastated I would be. And she hasn't been mean since. I mean, during the game, once the Patriots went up, she was like, oh no, you know how this is going to end. And then I just put my hand over her mouth until the game was over. But yeah, shout out to my wife for being a trooper throughout the last 36 hours and for forgiving me for how much money I spent on Super Bowl gear. But I said this on Facebook. I mean, the last year it's been weird in terms of just caring about sports because of, I mean, mostly.
Oh, let's just say it. We've been political on this podcast. Just say the name.
I mean, but it's true because, like, the way that not only our country, but I mean, it's happening in other countries too, that just civil liberties are being trampled on everywhere.
Right.
And it's hard to care about something as dumb as sports when real life things are happening that affect people, you know, that have major consequences for people. It's hard to get excited about sports. And like, I love doing this podcast, but I've been struggling to find the motivation to write as much as I have in years past this year. The Eagles, they reminded me of why sports are great. Like, it really, truly, when a team comes together like that and plays for each other and just coalesces the way they did. And then afterward, Nick Foles, he gave an interview and he said something along the lines of like, look, I got where I am because I failed so many times. Like, we're in this society where you post highlights of your life on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and everything looks great. And then you ignore the parts that don't go so well. But like, I got to where I am because I failed so many times. We should not be afraid of failure. We should embrace failure. Failure is what you build upon the failures. If you succeeded your entire life, you wouldn't know what it was like to fail. And then like, the failures propel you. So I thought it was just a really powerful message to deliver, especially after you just win Super Bowl MVP. I mean, I know I've been rambling for a while now, but
No.
There are really no words to capture what that team and that title means to the city of Philadelphia. I just had a friend a couple weeks ago pass away. He was 32, a high school friend from Philly. He had a long battle with melanoma dating back to high school and college. Honestly, even a bigger Philly fan than I am, because he cares about the Phillies and the Flyers, their baseball and hockey teams, and I do not. I know how much this would have meant to him. The Eagles invited him, actually, to go to the NFC Championship game a couple weeks ago, but he was his health was already in... it was not in a great place then, so he couldn't make it, but they sent him a video and told them, you know, they were thinking of him. That ESPN ran a special about, there was a 10-year-old kid with I forget what kind of cancer, like stomach cancer or something, that our quarterback Carson Wentz connected with over the summer, and they brought his whole family to the Super Bowl. Like, sports really do unify you. And, you know, even in these trying moments, and you need these breaks. Like, it's easy to wake up and just feel shitty and outraged about what is happening in the world. And by God, we should all continue to fight this as hard and as long as we need to. But it's okay every once in a while to take these breaks and, you know, just you need it. You need to restore your energy somehow. So if it means cheering for a sports team. Like, I'm a 30-year-old man And one of the happiest days of my life was Sunday. And that sounds stupid, but that's, you know, that's how it is. That's what makes sports great. So I'd like to thank the Eagles for reminding me of that. And knock on wood, Joel Embiid, you said you were next. So I'm going to remind you of that every day until we get another parade down Broad Street. I also implore everyone from Philadelphia listening, stay safe on Thursday. Enjoy the parade. I'm with you in spirit. But please don't jump off any more light poles or awnings. Stay safe.
Good shout. Oh, and don't eat shit, guys.
Right. If you see a horse poop, do not go and pick it up and eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not edible. It's it's shit. So
I can think
just for clarification.
I can think of no better way to end this podcast than that. So so thank you all for joining us. Please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some reviews. We would love any feedback. And we're being hosted this year on FanRag Sports, so check them out on Twitter at FanRag Sports and for their NBA content at FRS Hoops with a Z. I'm Brian Toporek, and as always, I was joined by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort. Enjoy London.
Yeah. Thank you, man. And once again, congratulations on the win.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
You too.